Welcome back to another episode of the Quick 10 Podcast, live and in person here in Tampa, Florida at a CMMC ecosystem event called CUIcon. I'm joined here today by our good friend Carter. Thank you for being on, spending some time.
Thank you for having me on.
It's a busy conference, so thank you for stepping aside here for a few minutes. Tell us a little bit about you and Soundway, and then we'll get into some fun little questions.
Sure. So my name is Carter Schoenberg. I'm the Chief Cybersecurity Officer for Soundway Consulting. And I'm also the vice president for cybersecurity solutions. So I have two roles. One is ensuring our own corporate cyber posture, and also the design, implementation, and management of our forward-facing professional managed services. We were the 24th C3PAO as of September 2022, and we were just reauthorized. And so I believe there's a total of 54 currently in play today.
Awesome. Well, we go back a ways.
We do.
So it's been a fun, interesting, whatever you want to call it, last few years. You are very articulate, very, in my opinion, easy to understand when it comes down to some of the details that really do matter.
Thank you.
And so one of the questions I did write down here and is a common theme, but I think for our viewers, our listeners, it's good to hear different perspectives on this. But are you seeing a misunderstanding of what DFARS is asking OSCs to do, the DIB to do, or whoever's got the requirements, versus what CMMC is portrayed to be doing, or however you want to word that?
So the short answer is there is a, from what we have seen at Soundway and for context, have probably done 30 readiness reviews. We just completed phase one of our formal assessment for one of our clients. There is a significant disconnect by the entire government contracting community with respect to what their legal obligations are versus what CMMC is designed to do. I think that they tend to conflate it. I think, yeah, it's the same thing. And as a result of that, that's why we've seen industry pretty much kick the can for multiple years, because I don't have to do this until CMMC goes live. And what they fail to understand is all that CMMC is a third-party way of policing that you're not in violation of your contractual obligations in the first place. But there are some definite unique elements to what DFARS is asking versus what assessors are being tasked to look for in a level two assessment. Case in point, one of my favorite ones is incident response. And that is a very large hole in the tent of your program. We've done a number in-house. We've done a number kind of holding the hand of our clients through tabletop exercises. And what we have seen in multiple organizations seeking certification in their system security plan is they identify an entity. But in many cases, either it's the wrong entity or the obligation to notify is incomplete. As an example, we are evaluating paperwork right now for a client that used the Department of Homeland Security, the CISA template for an incident response tabletop exercise, which is a fantastic template. But in no way, shape, or form did that organization notify the Department of Defense. And even in their system security plan, they don't highlight that they had an obligation to notify Department of Defense. Conversely, we see organizations that say they will notify Department of Defense, but don't understand that technically they are part of critical infrastructure, and therefore they also have an obligation to notify CISA. So as an assessor, all we can do is have you identify the appropriate entities. Even if it's incomplete, you still have to say, well, yes. But what I will tell you, Derek, is subject to a DIPCAC high independent assessment, that would fail. That would clearly fail. And I have some concerns. Time will tell. But what type of backlash will occur when an OSC receives a certificate of status for level two, and then in a year or so, they get spot inspected by DIPCAC, and they have multiple failures because of that delta in what DFARS is asking for versus what a CMMC assessor is tasked to look for.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting that. Thank you, because those are the details that I know you're passionate about, which is truly for the maybe the small to mediums, it's just not the depth that they're used to.
Right.
And it's just not their, it's not their makeup. That's not what they do every day. So thank you for getting into that, because that is very important. The second thing is asset inventory. I know you're very passionate about that too. So talk us through that a little bit.
Sure. So having an inventory of assets, I mean, it's an actual obligation. It's in the CM family. And we have seen on multiple occasions, either one doesn't exist, or two, one does exist, but it does not break it down based on the five categories as described in the CMMC scoping guidance document, which breaks it down. And those five categories are: is it a CUI asset, a security protection asset, a contractor risk managed asset, a specialized asset, or my favorite one is an out-of-scope asset. Well, if it's out-of-scope, why are we talking about it? But, you know, it's a government-created document, so this is, it's their game, it's their rule, right. So that's how we're playing against it. But we see challenges with organizations being able to have that level of granularity in specifying it. And we actually had a client that we had to pause on phase one as a direct result of that. We actually even had to give them a disposition letter saying, you are not advancing to phase two, because basically a 5-point control is not adequately being described here. So until this is resolved, we can't even really advance to phase two. So I think that there's an opportunity to continue to educate industry in this capacity. We at Soundway, and I don't believe it's limited to us, still see a lack of understanding about CMMC and its obligations overall. If you're in the National Capital Region or Austin, Texas, or Huntsville, or even potentially down here in Tampa, where there's significant military presence, CMMC is at least now fairly being well understood. The moment you start going to, let's say, Wright-Patterson in Ohio or Des Moines, Iowa, or Phoenix, if you start saying CMMC, I almost guarantee you, you're going to hear, but we already do CMMI.
Yep.
So there's a definite challenge in communication and the ability to continue to raise awareness. The cyber accreditation body is doing a stellar job, but they can only control that which they can control. And I think it's going to be incumbent upon the industry stakeholders that are leading this charge to create events like with what we're at right now here in Tampa, but be able to expand that aperture to lesser known territories, let's say.
Yeah, no, that's true. And this is the beauty of an event like this, is that we do get a lot of people together. There are different ways. There are different perspectives. There's you need to be dedicated. You know, the outcome is all the same for everybody. It doesn't matter how much or little or a lot you solve or where you fit in. If people aren't passing, then we have problems, right? that's not a good outcome. So that's why we are at things like this, because it is good to see people we've known for years.
Yeah.
You can see it coming together. You can see that those that do it the right way, the outcome is what we're all aiming for.
Well, one of the things that also might be of interest for those that are watching. So as of yesterday's date, there were a total of 79 records in EMAS, which is the centralized repository that will be used for CMMC identification, tracking, and formal certificate of status that will feed into the Supplier Performance Risk System, otherwise known as SPERS. But if we evaluate the fact that we are basically tracking for 2 months in, let's say, 80 organizations, that's about one a day that's being done. So that's only going to continue to ramp up. So I believe it's very important for organizations that are taking a position of saying, we know we're going to have to do this, but we're just not ready yet. Don't let that be the discriminator in getting on a C3PAO's schedule downrange. There's nothing preventing a government contractor from contacting Soundway or somebody else and saying, hey, we know we're going to have to do this, but we don't want to do this until, let's say, October. But can we get on your schedule then and have a commitment now? Because if you wait until, say, August, thinking that you're going to get it done in October,
it's not going to happen. If you just evaluate the basic math of supply and demand, mm-hmm. the odds are not in their favor.
Well, and they can see the presentations that are happening today and tomorrow. The C-3PAOs that bought into this, that are doing this and doing a good job, are busy. They're booked out through the rest of 2025, unless they staff up and they go, which is another conversation. So you're right. Thank you again for being on, Carter. It's always always good catching up. We'll do it again. There's no question. We'll
look forward to
other events, and we'll see where things are at that point, which will be good. Where do people go to learn more about Carter and Soundway, and where do we want to direct them at?
Sure. So corporate website is Soundway, W-A-Y, soundwayconsulting.com. We are listed in the Cyber Accreditation Bodies Marketplace as a C3PO, and I'm, as you know, quite prominent on LinkedIn, so feel free to look me up, Carter Schoenberg, that's S-C-H, and more than happy to answer any comments, questions, or concerns organizations seeking certification may have about the process.
Awesome. You do a good job of that. So I highly recommend people do check out Carter on LinkedIn, follow Soundway, go check stuff out. So thank you again.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll have you on again in the future.
Wonderful.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it.